Hello, word nerds. Welcome to another phantasmagorically wonderful episode of The Dictionary. My name is Spencer. I am recording this on March 9th, 9:36 a.m. Let's do this. Let's have some fun in this episode. We've never had any fun up until now, and now we're going to start having some fun. The most fun is trying to say this first word. It's been a few days since I recorded. It's the same word as in the previous episode, but we put the word acid at the end. Okay, this is, you break it down into its pieces, and it's so ding-dang easy. It is ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid, and I have to confirm a couple of vowels. Ethylene diamine tetra, there's a sound, or tetraacetate. This one is different. Tetraacetic. Tetraacetic acid. Ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid, noun from 1942. The synonym is just EDTA. That's it. Sound effect. The next word is ethylene dibromide. Dibromide. Two words, noun from 1866. Oh, and my watch decided to search for EDTA. Okay, ethylene dibromide is a colorless toxic liquid compound, C2H4Br2, that is used chiefly as a fuel additive in leaded gasolines that has been found to be strongly carcinogenic in laboratory animals. Wonderful. And that was used formerly in the U.S. as an agricultural pesticide. It says it's abbreviated to EDB. So, yeah, this seems like something that's not good for living things. It was used as a pesticide in agriculture to kill the insects. They stopped using it probably because it was really, 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 really bad to put it on the food. I'm just guessing. Yes, strongly carcinogenic in laboratory animals. So what were they doing to these laboratory animals? Put them in cages. Cages? And how would you spray it on them? Put it on them? Whatever. You're like, let's see how bad this is for these wonderful, cute living animals. Let's see how it's going to affect them. Oh, they got cancer? Great. Now we know that. And they're dead and suffering. Or suffering and then dead. Probably not the other way around. And we put it in our fuel, in leaded gasolines. You know what? Maybe we need to put a link in the show notes for ethylene dibromide to see, is this still being used? I mean, it's from 1866. We've surely come a long way since 1866. Maybe we've come up with something better to put in our gasolines. We got a lot of work to do, people. Come on, let's get on this. Let's be better, faster at making these clean fuels, clean energy, all that stuff. I mean, I know we got good people working on this, but come on. But we don't want to do it too fast. We want to do it the right speed. I forgot to mention at the top of this episode that if I haven't officially announced it yet, I can officially announce in the next episode, you are going to get to hear from a fantastic guest. They're all fantastic. This one's also fantastic. I just love saying the word fantastic. Helen Zaltzman from the podcast The Allusionist is on the show. We talked about etymology and lots of stuff. I recorded that so long ago, I don't even remember what we talked about. Okay, back to the words. The next word is ethylene glycol. Two words. The second word is glycol. Noun from circa 1884. This is a thick liquid diol, C2H6O2, used especially as an antifreeze or antifreeze and in making polyester fibers. You put it in your antifreeze so the stuff don't freeze. You don't want the stuff to freeze because then you're not going to be able to wash your windows in your car, or your gas might freeze if you don't have that. Okay, what else? Polyester fibers. How are you using this to make polyester fibers? I don't know. It's a thick liquid diol. I don't know nothing about this stuff. This whole section I'm so stupid about. Next is ethylene oxide. Two words. Noun from circa, also 1884. This is a colorless, flammable, toxic compound, C2H4O. Used especially in synthesis and in sterilization and fumigation. Synthesis of ethylene glycol. That's the example of, I guess if you're trying to synthesize, make in the lab ethylene glycol, then maybe you're using this ethylene oxide to help with that procedure. Sterilization and fumigation? Sterilization and fumigation are the things that ethylene oxide does. Literally sterilizing what? Cows? People? Dogs? Seahorses? What? And then fumigating, fumigating like a building to get rid of the insects, maybe. Yeah, you can't see it. It's colorless. No color. It's flammable. Don't put the fire by it. And it's toxic. Okay, great. All this stuff. We saw so much of that in the previous episode. Next is ethyl ether. Two words. Noun from 1878. The synonym is the 3A definition for the word ether, which was just a little while ago. Okay, we are done with the ethyl words, and now we have ethine or ethine, emphasize either syllable, ethyne, ethine, or ethine. This is a noun from 1877, and the synonym is acetylene. Where's the emphasis go? Acetylene? I think that's what it is. A-C-E-T-Y-L-E-N-E. Acetylene. Let's say that. Ethine is acetylene. Next is, I guess it's, just ethanol. It's a variation of ethanol. So this one in this episode is ethynyl, and it's a variation of ethinyl, which was probably just a couple of episodes ago. Next is etic. So E-T-I-C, that's how it's spelled, etic. Adjective from 1954. We're getting into a new section. We're done with all those science words with the C's and the H's and the O's and the C-L's and the B-R's. And now we got something new. Okay, etic, adjective of relating to or involving analysis of cultural phenomena from the perspective of one who does not participate in the culture being studied. It says compared to emic, E-M-I-C. And of course, we got to go take a quick look at that. Oh, did I go straight to the page? I did. I love it when that happens. It happens more often than it should. Okay, let's just quick look at emic. It's emic, by the way. Emic is of a relating or involving analysis of cultural phenomena from the perspective of one who participates in the culture. Yeah, that's pretty much what I figured it would be. So emic is studying a culture, but specifically from the perspective of the person who's in the culture. What does it look like? What is that culture like to them? This is just what they grew up with. This is all they know, probably. How do they see their culture from just being in it all the time? And of course, you're going to get slightly different perspectives from different people you talk to, young people, middle-aged people, old people, all the people in between, male, female, non-gender, whatever. And some are like, yes, this culture is great. And some might be like, what else is out there? I want to see what else is out there. But we're talking about etic with a T, which is, how does an outsider view that culture? What do they think about that culture? And that is really interesting because, right, let's just confirm with the perspective of one who does not participate in the culture. Yeah, so you are going to get a whole wide variety of opinions on what that culture is like depending on who you are, who this perspective is, where what's life like through their lens. They could be from every other culture in the world, and depending on what culture that is, they're going to look at that specific culture being studied in a totally different way. I wonder if this is less common than emic or more common than emic. I don't know. It's interesting. So how do you use this? Well, maybe the next word is going to be related. It's the suffix etic, and I think you would probably pronounce it etic, but let's see. So the definition, there's no definition. The synonym is just the suffix ic, ick. So etic and ick are the same suffix, as in limnetic. So depending on what letters come before the suffix, you might need to put in an et before the ic, the et before the ic, to make it flow nice. And this is often in adjectives corresponding to nouns ending in esis, E-S-I-S, as in the example, genetic, because the original word would be genesis. So when you are taking off the esis, genesis, then you're like, well, how are we going to turn it into this IC suffix? Well, we got to put in a couple of other letters. We got to make it genetic. Okay. So, you know, when we get to the IC suffix many years from now, we will get to learn exactly what that means. But we kind of have etymology. It's from the Greek etikos, etikos, etos, etos, which is the ending of certain verbals. That's it. That's where it came from. Okay, so etic adjective and etic adjective suffix aren't probably related. I don't think so. So, though, maybe we have more etic stuff coming up. I don't know. Let's keep on going. Ha. Next, we have etidronate or etidronate. E-T-I-D-R-O-N-A-T-E. This is a noun from, is there a year? Oh, 1971. Hey, guess what? We're back into the science words. This is a white sodium salt, C2H6Na2O7P2, that inhibits the formation, growth, and dissolution of hydroxyapatite crystals, and is administered orally in the treatment of some bone disease, like Paget's disease of bone. And this is called also etidronate disodium. Etidronate, that's how you say it. Okay, so there was so much stuff there. White sodium salt, you can't form or grow these hydroxyapatite crystals. And you take it orally, and I get, if you got some bone diseases, if you got Paget's disease of bone, then maybe they're going to give you this etidronate to help with. Maybe there's too many hydroxyapatite crystals, and then you want to stop them. You're like, these crystals are making my bones all messed up, so I got to stop it. I got to stop these crystals. Sure, why not? Okay, this is from etidronic acid, of which etidronate is a salt, perhaps from ethylidene, which is the radical CH3CH plus the hydro plus the onic from phosphonic acid, which is an acid obtained from phosphine or phosphine. Yeah, I don't understand any of that stuff. Do I need to go back to school and study all the sciences just so I can do this podcast properly? No, I don't think so. Bop. Next is etiolate. Etiolate. E-T-I-O-L-A-T-E. late. Transitive verb from 1791. Number one, to bleach and alter the natural development of by excluding sunlight. And the example of what we are doing this to would be a green plant. So if for some reason you want to alter the natural development of a plant that is green, maybe you want to bleach it, make it white, basically get rid of all the color, then you would take it away from the sunlight. Take it away, sunlight. No sunlight for this green plant. And then the plant is going to get very sad because it eats the sunlight. It needs the sunlight. That's how it gets energy. And that's how it gets its green color. Photosynthesis. We learned that a long time ago in our childhood. So why would you want to do this? I don't know. What's 2A say? To make pale. That's it. Making pale. So if you are, you're sick, your body is making yourself pale maybe. Maybe if you just spend, well, I have done this to myself. I have made myself pale because when I was young, I used to spend a lot of time in the sun. So I got very, very dark. But then as the years have gone on, I have decided to put myself in front of a computer instead of the outside. And so I've just gotten quite pale over the years. So I have very, very slowly etiolated myself. 2B, to deprive of natural vigor. Also, make feeble. Because, of course, we all know it's a scientific fact that when you're pale, you have no vigor. You're feeble. Obviously, I'm joking. But that's what society says. People think that, oh, you look so weak and frail, you're so pale. That's clearly not, doesn't make any sense at all. If you're tan, that means you have all this vigor. Not necessarily. Okay. So etiolate. The etymology, oh, first we have to say etiolation. That is a noun. That is the action of making something pale, either a person, a plant, whatever. It's just from the French word étioler, something like that, and I don't know what that word means, and it doesn't tell me for some reason. But yeah, that's an interesting word. Never knew about making something pale, feeble, weak. Okay. Ha. The next word is etiologic. Or etiological, adjective from circa 1753. 1. Assigning or seeking to assign a cause. That's interesting. We got to keep on reading to have it make more sense. Number 2. Of or relating to etiology, which is coming up. Etiologically is an adverb. So what does this mean, assigning or seeking to assign a cause? I'm going to assign a cause to that thing. That thing, this group of people are going to focus on this cause. They're going to try and raise money for this thing, whatever it is. Is that what we're talking about? Why are we talking about that? What's the etymology? We got to talk about it in the next word. So let's make a sound effect. Etiology, noun from circa 1555. Number 1, the synonyms are cause and origin. Okay, the beginning of a thing, cause and effect. Where does it come from? That's what we're talking about. But specifically, the cause of a disease or abnormal condition. Ah, where did this disease come from? The cause of a disease. So this is studying, where do certain diseases come from? Why are they the way they are? Why are they in our system in the first place? How did they get there? Etiology. Number 2 is a branch of knowledge concerned with causes. So literally this, all this is just where things came from. Why did that effect happen? Because there was a cause. So it's literally just studying causes. This is fascinating because I was listening to Clear and Vivid, Alan Alda's podcast, and he had on somebody who was talking about free will, cause and effect, and how we maybe have no free will. And he was talking a lot about how you just look back and like everything just makes sense when you go back, and either genetically or culturally or whatever it is. And so he's got a book called Determined, and I actually ordered it, which I don't do very often, but I ordered it and I started reading it. And it's going to take me a long, long time to get through this book because I am a slow reader and I don't read very often. I don't read much when I read. I'm reading like a page or two a night. I've only done that a few times. And I'm just, oh boy. But anyway, the whole point is cause and effect. There's always a cause for something. And then, but there's probably a cause for that and a cause for that and a cause for that. It's just turtled all the way down. So that's what etiology is, studying causes. But specifically, there's more. A branch of medical science concerned with the causes and origins of diseases. So yes, it seems like it's mostly focused, etiology is mostly focused on the medical side of why things are, where things are coming from. Okay, the etymology is from Middle Latin etiologia, which is the statement of causes. From the Greek etiologia, from etia, which means cause. So yeah, that's what it is. It's just all about the causes. Not like a political cause, a humanitarian cause. No, it's the cause and effect. Interesting stuff. The next word is etiquette. We're going in another direction. Etiquette. Etiquette. Noun from 1750. This is the conduct or procedure required by good breeding or prescribed by authority to be observed in social or official life. And, oh, I got some issues with this one. I don't have good etiquette. I don't really care. I mean, I'll try. I'll put on a happy face, or not a happy face. I'll put on the, you know, a proper face. But come on. The conduct or procedure required by good breeding. Ooh, I have so much issues with this phrase, good breeding. Or prescribed by authority to be observed in social or official life. So the people in authority, in proper social and official life, are like, this is how you are supposed to act. And I'm like, no. Most of the time, some of the time, not as often as I should be. Ooh, etiquette. Okay, is from French, etiquette, which literally means ticket. And there's more at the word ticket. So I wonder what happened. Why? How did it go from ticket to how you behave and all that stuff? Which fork do you use? I never know which fork to use. Do you sit up straight? Do you put your elbows on the table? Do you honk like a duck? Okay, let's move on from etiquette. It's probably not good etiquette at the dinner table to go, The next word is ETO, all caps, abbreviation for European Theater of Operations. And I think this is probably like in a hospital. They used to call those rooms where they would do the operations down on the main floor, and then they would have theater seating around. They call them theaters, like the surgery theater, the medical theater. I don't know the proper term, but that's what they did. So that's probably the European Theater of Operations. I don't know. I'm just guessing. It could literally be about the acting theater. Who knows? No one will ever know. The next word is Eton collar. Eton is capital E-T-O-N, and collar is C-O-L-L-A-R, like the dog is wearing a collar, the cat is wearing the collar, a hippopotamus might be wearing a collar. So Eton collar is a noun from 1887. This is a large, stiff turnover collar. What? I need to look this up. I have no idea what a turnover collar would be. It's literally just the collar of a shirt. I guess it's just got a big, big lapels. Not big. I mean, I don't know. Are they? Would you call those big? Or it's just literally turned over. So any collar that has lapels that just get turned over, like, you know, your fancy dress shirt, you got to turn it all over and get your tie under there and button the thing up with the tiny little button, which is super hard to do. So Eaton collar is a large, stiff turnover collar. It's been, let's look up Eaton turnover. Maybe it looks really interesting and cool. I don't know. Let's find. There's different styles. Anyway, it's just a collar. It is from Eton College, which is an English public school. So this was probably part of their dress code. You got to have your Eton collar. It's got to be stiff. It's got to be folded over properly. It's got to look good. You don't can't mess up your Eton collar. The next word is Etonian. Capital Etonian, noun from 1658. This is a student or former student of Eton College. And Etonian is also an adjective. And why does this school, this Eton College, get in the dictionary? What? Why are they so important that they have words from their school in here? Are we talking oftenly about Etonian students? Okay. Hey, look at this. We got another one. It's Eton jacket. Noun from 1881. A short black jacket with long sleeves, wide lapels, and an open front. And I don't know, maybe their style was so unique at the time in the 1880s that they got into fashion. Everybody was like, ooh, I want to dress like those Etonians. Ooh, they got some cool collars. Ooh, that jacket's fancy. I want to be like that. That's what's fashionable this fall. Eton collar, Eton jacket, worn by Etonians. Okay, last word. We got, oh, it's a fun word, étouffée. Yeah, étouffée. You can spell it Etouffee, without accents or with accents. The accents are the ones that go boop down on the left and up on the right. They are on the first E and the second to last E, and that's the seems like the more proper way to spell it. Étouffée. Noun from circa 1933. This is a Cajun stew of shellfish or chicken served over rice. And of course, you can put other stuff in there, I'm sure. I don't think it has to be shellfish or chicken. I'm sure that there are veggie versions, but it's the Cajun part that I suspect is the most important. It's a stew, so it's thick. It's thick. With stuff. It's soupy, but it's got a lot of stuff in there. The veggies and maybe the meats and the rices. And it's chunky, probably a good étouffée. Ooh, yeah, those are tasty. That's like a jambalaya, kind of. Okay, this is from the French. L'étouffée, which means braised. So, I don't know, maybe they were braising the chicken, braising the shellfish. Can you braise shellfish? I don't even know. So what's the most important part? What is an étouffée? What makes an étouffée an étouffée? Is it that it's braised? Is it the Cajun flavorings? Is it the meat? Is it the rice? Who knows? They're just tasty. Okay, I am going to now pick a word of the episode. So today, we had ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid or acetic acid, ethylene dibromide, ethylene glycol, ethylene oxide, ethyl ether, ethine, ethanil, etic, etadronate, etiolate, etiologic, etiology, Etiquette, ETO, Eton Collar, Etonian, Eton Jacket, Eton, yeah, and Etouffee. Well, what? Let me look at this one. Okay, that one was all about making pale. Etiology is about the causes. I don't know. Sure, let's pick etiology as the word of the episode. It's because it's studying causes. I need to know where that thing came from. I'm going to study etiology. Fantastic. That's another time to say fantastic. Quickly, let's say a word. No, stop it, Spencer. Let's say a movie that I watched, which is left off here at Inside Out. Oh, Inside Out, getting ready. I hadn't watched this one in many, 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 many years. And of course, the sequel to Inside Out 2 is coming out. And let me give you a date on that one. And it's so good. I think I appreciated it more now after seeing it. This would have been at least my second or possibly third time seeing it. And I'm older and I know more about the science that they studied, because all the stuff that goes on in the brain and your mind and your memory, it's all like based in actual science. That's really how the memory works and stuff. It's all very accurate. How the emotions come in, and I don't even know, but I'm very excited for Inside Out 2. I watched a teaser and I don't want to watch a trailer. I don't want to know too much. And I want to see sort of where do they take this? How much further are they going to take this? All this stuff that goes on in the mind and the brain. And yeah. Ooh, it's just so good. It's so good. And, you know, when you watch it, at least for me, I can't help but think about like my own, like what are my islands? You know, there's the family island and the goofy island and all those things. And I, you know, I got those. I don't really have the sports island. I would have a movies island. I want to see Inside Out for me. What's going on in my brain? What are my emotions like? They're all over the place. But yeah, Inside Out 2, June 14th in the US. That's when it's coming out. So it's probably going to be pretty great. That's the end of this episode. Thank you very much for checking out this show and watching it on YouTube. Obviously, go subscribe. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.